Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Wednesday of Holy Week, and from the United States, we hear from Father Clint Honkamp. Father Clint lives in Chicago, and his preaching today is entitled The Beginnings of Betrayal.
Our passage today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, where he says, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me." In the quiet solemnity of Holy Week, the Gospel places us in a deeply intimate and painful moment. Jesus sits at table with his disciples, the 12 whom he has chosen, taught, and loved. They have walked dusty roads together, shared meals, witnessed miracles, and listened to the mysteries of the kingdom. And yet, in the midst of this sacred meal, Jesus says something that must have fallen upon the room like a sudden storm. "Amen, I say to you, one of you will hand me over." The disciples are stunned. The Gospel tells us they became deeply distressed. One by one, they began to ask, "Surely it is not I, Lord." Notice what they do not say. They do not say, "It must be him." They do not point fingers. They do not begin arguing about who might be capable of such evil. Instead, each disciple turns inward. "Surely it is not I, Lord." This question reveals something profound about the spiritual life. The saints tells us that the closer a person draws to Christ, the more aware they become of their own weaknesses. The disciples know their hearts well enough to realize something sobering. Every human heart is capable of betrayal. Even hearts that love Jesus. Jesus continues, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me." In the culture of the time, sharing food from the same dish was a sign of friendship and trust. Jesus is not speaking about a distant enemy. He is speaking about someone close. This is part of the agony of the Passion that we sometimes overlook. The suffering of Christ was not only physical, it was also deeply personal. He is betrayed by someone who has walked beside him. Judas heard the same sermons as Peter. He saw the same miracles as John. He has sent out to preach and heal like the others. Yet somewhere along the way, something in his heart closed. Perhaps it was disappointment. Perhaps ambition. Perhaps the quiet growth of sin that he refused to confront. Whatever the cause, Judas allowed darkness to grow where trust once lived. And this is why the Gospel today is so unsettling. It forces us to realize that betrayal rarely begins with a dramatic moment. It usually begins with something much smaller, a compromise, a hidden resentment, a secret sin we refuse to bring into the light. Slowly, almost unnoticed, the heart begins to drift. The disciples question, "Surely it is not I, Lord," is not merely a reaction of fear. It is a prayer of humility. It is the question every disciple must ask during Holy Week. Not, "Who is the betrayer?" but rather, "Lord, where in my life have I been unfaithful to you?" We may not hand Jesus over to soldiers, but we can betray him in quieter ways when we choose comfort over truth, when we remain silent instead of defending what is right, when we cling to sin rather than turning back to mercy. And yet there is something else important in this scene. The disciples ask their question directly to Jesus, "Surely it is not I, Lord." They bring their fear and uncertainty to him. That is the difference between Peter and Judas. Both fail, both fall. But Peter returns to the Lord in sorrow and trust. Judas isolates himself in despair. The tragedy of Judas is not only the betrayal, it is that he believed his sin was beyond the reach of mercy. But that is never true. Even in this moment of betrayal, Jesus does not withdraw his love. He continues the meal. He will soon give his body and blood. Think about that for a moment. Jesus knows Judas will betray him, yet he still shares the table. This is the heart of the gospel. God's love is not given only to the faithful and the perfect. It is given to sinners again and again. Holy Week, then, is not meant to leave us in guilt. It is meant to bring us back to grace. The question, "Surely it is not I, Lord," becomes a doorway to conversion, because once we see in our weakness, we also discover something greater. The mercy of Christ is stronger than our sins. As we continue through Holy Week, the Church invites us to remain close to Jesus, to sit with him at the table, to walk with him to the garden, to stand near to the cross. And along the way, to keep asking the humble question of the disciples, "Lord, is there anything in my heart that keeps me from loving you fully?" If we ask that question honestly, the Lord will answer not with condemnation, but with grace. Because the purpose of the cross is not to expose our failure, it is to redeem it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in the quiet of Holy Week, we hear your words at the table, and we recognize our own weakness. So often we promise faithfulness, and yet we fall into sin, fear, or indifference. Give us the humility to ask, "Surely it is not I, Lord," and the courage to bring our hearts honestly before you. Do not allow us to drift away from your love. Draw us back whenever we stray, and keep us close to you in these holy days. May we walk with you through the Passion, so that we may share in the joy of the Resurrection. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. If you found a blessing in this brief reflection today, I invite you to return here to my hermitage each and every day, when we take a look at the gospel that we shared at Mass and break open its meaning for our spiritual lives. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.